Welcome to the NLX Dynasty Podcast. Running back rundown week four. Here we go. Arizona. James Conner, 50 of 76 snaps. There's a split behind him in Darrell Williams and Eno Benjamin. Don't have a good approximation of who it's going to be in any given week. I think I'd have to wait a week if there's a Conner injury. Conner's been a little bit banged up. Running back 29 on the season. Don't have a ton of confidence in a backup spot. I think it would be Benjamin. I don't have a ton of confidence on that, right? It's very much split when it's not a Conner snap. I had moved on from some Darrell Williams, sort of cycled through some other guys. I actually picked up some Mike Boone along the way, which we'll see. That might actually turn out well. But I just saw a clearer process for that to be coming true than Darrell Williams behind Eno Benjamin. So I don't have a ton of confidence in that. Again, Conner is 29 on the season. So hopefully that'll improve with some health here, and he's missed a little bit of time with injury, so we'll see how that goes. All right, Cordarrelle Patterson, limited, only played 16 of 55 snaps. 10 of them were in the first quarter. Fortunately, he got on the board with a touchdown and sort of salvaged a day. Six routes for him, nine carries in 16 snaps, so kind of made it count with the touchdown. When you look at this, I think, like, if we were to sort of break it down, it's a four-headed committee. Remember, no Damian Williams. It's Avery Williams, Caleb Huntley, Cordarrelle Patterson, Tyler Allgeier. Allgeier led the backfield with 20 snaps. Again, I don't think this is where we're going. I think this is a reaction to Patterson being injured. So we're going to have to watch this going on, and maybe their comfort in getting into a committee might make you a little cautious if we don't have, like, if we get some questionable stuff for Patterson kind of late in the week, if he's not practicing, if he's, like, limited on Friday, like that sort of stuff. Maybe this is you shy away from it just because they're comfortable enough to employ a committee type of deal. It would sort of be my recommendation. I still think Cordarrelle Patterson's a starting running back. I think this is much more health-related than anything. And maybe it was aggravated or whatnot. Again, if Cordarrelle Patterson's out, I think Tyler Allgeier's a starter. You have 35 men. Maybe you take a shot on a guy like Caleb Huntley. But don't have a great sense of, I don't have a great sense that he's going to be too involved either. Like, it's Allgeier. So when you look at this, 20 snaps for Allgeier, led the team. Early snaps, he had 14 of them. Cordarrelle Patterson had 16 of them. Again, those are early, so it was much more in the second, after that initial quarter there. Allgeier really took over the early down roll. It was Caleb Huntley with three goal line carries to one for Avery Williams. Huntley handled one short yardage play that they had, and Huntley didn't play on third downs. So it was actually Allgeier with six of the eight third down snaps. So if that gives you a little sense of it, maybe some of the receiving centric stuff, some of the early down stuff is Allgeier. Probably doesn't consolidate into an elite role if he's not getting goal line. I think that would probably be the big takeaway. So maybe you play him, but I wouldn't expect, it's probably much more of a running back two or a flex play than it is a running back one type spot start. Allgeier did go 10 for 84, broke a 42-yard carry, 10 carries for 56 yards and a touchdown for Caleb Huntley as well. But Caleb Huntley definitely behind Allgeier in usage so far. All right, Baltimore. Dobbins, he's back. 35 of 70 snaps. Majority of the routes, he ran 14 of the 26 running back routes. Four targets, four for 21 and a touchdown in the passing game. He went an additional 13 for 41 on the ground. That's a positive development. Justice Hill played 25 snaps, 10 routes, 8 for 45 on the ground. That's respectable. 2 for 12 in the passing game on 10 routes. That's, again, respectable on two targets. However, he left with a non-contact injury. So we'll be watching that. I haven't seen an official update on that. I'm recording this Monday afternoon. I haven't seen an official note yet on his status. So just keep an eye on that. If it's something serious, right, we're going to cut and move on from him. I get this sense that Kenyon Drake would probably be brought back in as the injury away guy, but don't have a great level of confidence in that at present. Maybe one of the biggest news items of the day, Devin Singletary absolutely dominating the snap share. 32 routes on 42 dropbacks. He ran 32 of the 35 routes out of the backfield. 11 carries to 3 for Zach Moss. Cook's a total non-entity at this point. Like, it's an interesting in the third plus valuation, something like that for Cook. I'd be interested in that. Singletary is running back 22 on the season pending. That was pending Monday night football, Sunday night football as well when I wrote that note down. So he's right around that running back 2-3 range there in terms of starter flex play type consideration. But this is trying to get a good direction for him, right? Really, and we've seen this in a couple weeks in a row now, really, you know, really getting the routes as well. So I feel a little bit more comfortable putting him in lineups than I had been early on in the season. So the fact that he's adding to his role in the face of additional competition, I think, is a notable development there. So we'll see there. Again, I have a backfield with Singletary and Josh Jacobs, and I think Cordell Patterson's in there. I got like Jamal Williams, and it has become a little bit difficult to get it right. Like, I do have some right answers in a situation that didn't seem particularly good coming into it, but it's been tough to sort of get it right. So we'll sort of see as we go along. Singletary might be more of a solution than he has been in prior years. Okay, this is a fun trivia question. If you're just talking to someone, just ask a random stranger, or if you're in a fantasy league with them or something like that, just casually bring up, where does Christian McCaffrey rank in scoring? I did this with Adam, who's editor of AOD, one of the editors of AOD, and he's like, probably 20. I was like, nope, running back 5. It's just a perception issue. He's that good that he can sort of overcome this bad of a situation. 9 for 81 and a touchdown receiving will do that for you. 8 for 27 on the ground, 33 routes, 39 dropbacks. He's fully involved. That's north of that's almost 3 yards a route run. Like, that's pretty good. So yeah, I mean, we're he's still very good, and I think at a potential buy low, like, if it's a shit show there, it looks like a shit show, you might be able to actually buy into that. So I'm interested in McCaffrey sort of in that, you know, can you give a future first and get him right now? Like, I don't know if you can, but man, like, that feels like it's cheap, and a situation that frankly can't get much worse. Like, he's still doing it to a top 6 level. Like, that's a credit to how darn good he is. Khalil Herbert, 19 for 77 on the ground. It was the second best receiver on the day with, one reception and 24 yards. You heard that right. 24 yards is the second best receiving number on the day for them. So we're watching Montgomery's return. Herbert good enough to play. I don't know how much you're expecting. It feels more of running back 2 type projection than it does like a running back 1 full projection. Ebner 6 for 20 on the ground. He goes 2 for 8 receiving yards. So, you know, that's kind of where you're at, right? This is I think it's an okay situation. He's going to basically kind of eat innings for you. But other than that, like, I don't have a ton of I'm not betting on a huge ceiling for him or anything like that. But I do think, like, he can eat innings for you at the running back position and a spot start potential week. So that's really would be my take there on the Chicago backfield. And then we're waiting for Montgomery to come back and see sort of what his length of his absence will be. All right, we look at Cincinnati. We've gone through a little bit of some back and forth here on Mixon. He's back up to fully leading this team. 24 carries to only 1 for P. Ryan. He ran 20 routes to 8 for P. Ryan. Chris Evans kicked in 3. So this very much is trending back towards Mixon. There was some thought like, hey, maybe P. Ryan's getting mixed in more because Mixon's not playing that well. Mixon with a rebound volume game here on Thursday Night Football. Again, he's an ARB down candidate for me, or an ARB up candidate. I'd look to move from him. I'm not a huge fan of his. Someone was doing a deal the other day, and it was, I can't remember who it was, but it was a running back that was like cheaper than him that we like. And I don't think it was Josh Jacobs, but it was somebody else. And I was like, well, why don't you just see if you can go up and actually trade Mixon, right? See if you can get more from Mixon, because I probably like him less versus his value than the player that it was. So that would sort of be the thing that I would think about if you're in some bigger deals with some trades. Using Mixon as a piece that you could potentially unwind from in a deal as part of a bigger deal. That would sort of be the one way I would think about it. All right, Dallas, Zeke, 39 snaps to 24 for Pollard. Zeke ran 15 routes, 2 for 32 on 2 targets. Pollard, 12 routes, 2 targets, 1 reception, 2 yards. Zeke went 19 for 49 on the ground. Pollard, 8 for 6. So this is still a Zeke job. Pollard, I think, is largely a pure injury away guy at this point. So we'll see what this offense looks like. Dak Prescott looks like he's maybe a week, maybe two away. So we'll see what that looks like here coming back. But this is a potential – this is feels purely like an injury away spot for Pollard, and Elliott's still the starting running back. So that's pretty much kind of what I thought coming into the season. Pollard doesn't have that sort of flexibility, and we have kind of seen that here so far on the season. When you look – Ezekiel Elliott has struggled in terms of his performance so far to date, running back 35 on the season. So only one touchdown. So hopefully that'll get going here as the season goes along a little bit better. Potential buy low. Can you give a second for Zeke? I think you probably maybe can't, but maybe if the person's contending or is totally like capitulating on the season, sort of that type of valuation player, I'd be interested in doing that. All right, Denver, Javonte Williams, knee injury. Mike Boone played 19 snaps, actually ahead of Melvin Gordon. Boone, 12 routes, Gordon, 5. I wonder, I kind of have the feeling of like, hey, this should be a Gordon job if this is actually a Javonte injury. It looks like Javonte was sort of ruled out very quickly. That has all the makings of a ACL was sort of my initial reaction when they ruled him out when he was still like on the trainer's table. So, actually, as I'm recording this podcast, it is 1:15, and it looks like he did tear his ACL. So I just got an update on the old phone here. He tore his ACL. So so he's going to be out for the year. That's what I expected when they rolled him out. Like, that's this a very similar pattern to what happened. So I think Boone's a big add. You know, in that 5-10% range, kind of like you would add Craig Reynolds last week. I think you maybe even need to do more than that because people are going to dump on Gordon. People are actually going to see a window here for Boone to be a starter. I'm interested in Boone. I actually have a fair amount of Boone. I was sort of cycling through injury away guys, sort of trying to convince myself that there was like some value in specific ones. And he was maybe like one of the top 5 ones that I found. It might be like 15, maybe 20%, something like that. They're all deeper leagues where it was like just destitute on the waiver wire. Mike Boone, 13%. So let's see. Those are all primarily deeper leagues at this point. So some stuff there, potentially sell him off, like looking for some second plus type valuations for him, spot start opportunities as well. Otherwise 15 or 10 to maybe, you know, 5, 10, 15, something like that. We'll have to see, I think, if there's any reporting in terms of what his role could be, versus Melvin Gordon. I think Gordon gets the first crack at this would sort of be my assumption. But the fact that Boone actually played ahead of Gordon, I think, is an interesting development. Detroit, Jamal Williams, Alexander Mattison rule not firmly in effect. He goes 19 for 102 and 2 touchdowns. That's awesome. 15 routes, 3 targets. He goes 1 for 1 reception, 0 yards. Craig Reynolds played actually more routes than Jamal Williams, so this isn't firmly an Alexander Mattison rule. So Reynolds actually played the receiving centric role just ahead of Williams. He himself only had one target for two carry, only had one target and two carries on the game. So Jamal Williams, big time volume role, not the full Madison. We're not going full Madison. We're going basically like 3/4 Madison with Williams here. But again, he moves up and is a top 8 play on the season so far. So awesome job for Jamal Williams, an AOD staple really throughout his career. Full split for Green Bay. It's a 16 carries for Jones, 17 for Dillon, 20 routes for Dillon, 17 for Jones. Jones goes 4 targets, 3 receptions, 8 yards. He's running back 10 on the season. Dylan's 30. So, again, this feels like if either one of them gets a couple of touchdowns in a game, like it can very much flip-flop. But I think either one is very high-end running back 1 if the other one is injured. So, otherwise, you're probably feeling running back 1-2 type projection for Aaron Jones in a given week, running back 2-3 type projection for Dylan. And that feels light compared to where you thought they were coming in. So it's a little bit of a downgrade based on where they come in from. But again, I don't necessarily think you have Dylan to – your excitement about Dylan probably isn't the fact that, hey, he's a weekly streamer for me. Your excitement for Dylan is, hey, if Aaron Jones gets injured, he's a running back 1 type range of outcomes for me in any given week. That's really what your thought process should be there. All right, Houston, Damian Pierce played 14 snaps, 14 carries, 131 yards, and a touchdown, broke a 75-yard run. 6 targets, 6 receptions for 8 yards. It's actually a remarkable achievement. He was targeted on 30% of his routes, yet managed 0.4 yards per route run. That's just an almost impossible accomplishment. So excellent job of futility there for Damian Pierce. He has a monopoly in the run game. By the way, I am just recording this here, and this feels like a Friday afternoon recording session. According to Ian Rappaport, Cordarrelle Patterson is heading to injured reserve after having a knee procedure. He was dealing with it last week and played through it despite serious pain. He should return right at 4 weeks. So that is good news, I guess. I don't know. We'll see Tyler Allgeier where he is at in his, in terms of getting an opportunity there. It's going to be an interesting, it'll be an interesting short-lived opportunity for him. I do think Patterson should come back and be a guy there. And again, if he's healthy, that'll be good. Get him healthy for a second half sprint here on the season. So that's kind of what we're hoping for him there. And Allgeier should step up, kind of be in that running back 2 type range, probably putting something in there in the backfield for, I would say, not Avery Williams. I think Caleb Huntley, maybe a couple of percentage point addition there. It feels like a Craig Reynolds type addition from last week. All right, so now we're all, I'm all out of sorts here. So let's see where we'll get back on track here. And that is with Indy, 57 snaps for JT, 29 routes on 41 dropbacks, 2 targets, 20 for 42 on the ground. That's brutal. 2 targets, 1 reception, 1 yard. Suffer what is believed to be a high ankle sprain. It looks like tests have gone negative. I'm not sure what that means in this context, but they play on Thursday Night Football. Hines is a is I think the injury away guy, Deion Jackson's a deep ad, I think, but this is a pretty this feels like a pretty dismal this feels pretty dismal in terms of where we're at. Again, you're looking at a week 5 game, them versus the Broncos. I promised after COVID that I wouldn't complain about primetime matchups, but the NFL is testing me. They are testing me with some of these matchups here. So fortunately, it looks like the Sunday night and the Monday night game should be decent. But this one, it's going to be tough to watch, I think, especially without Jonathan Taylor. I think Hines should feel comfortable playing. Like, I think he can play Hines. And the more tight end or the running back 2 flex play consideration, I feel confident that he's the injury away guy, but doesn't feel great. Like you're stepping into a great situation. Jacksonville, we're going back and forth week to week here with the full split. Etienne led in snaps, 24 over Robinson, 22. There's only 44 plays in this game, so Etienne ran 15 routes to 8 for Robinson. They were down. I think this probably has more to do with game script than anything, but each of them had 8 carries. Etienne, for what it's worth, 32 yards, 29 for Robinson. So it feels a little bit game scripty-ish. I don't think this is a full, turning over the reins or anything like that, but it is, I think it's good that Etienne is sort of progressing in the right direction. That said, feel kind of disappointment from spending a first round rookie pick on him and getting what we've gotten so far. So hopefully we'll get more out of him. But again, coming off the injury and stuff, he just hasn't gotten all the way back to where we were hoping that he would be last year. Again, changing coaching staff and the like, it's been not exactly a clear road for him, but maybe this is a sign that they're trusting him a little bit more. Pacheco played more this week for Kansas City, 17 snaps, but still behind McKinnon and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I've seen some people suggesting to cut McKinnon. I am not prepared to do that yet. I'm not prepared to say that this is Pacheco's job. A lot of the work was in the second half when this game was largely out of hand. Pacheco 11 carries, 63 yards, 19 for 92 and a touchdown for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Edwards-Helaire ran 22 of 43 dropbacks. He ran routes. 10 routes for McKinnon, 5 for Pacheco. So Pacheco's still firmly behind the role of clear injury away guy. McKinnon's still in the way. We'll see how that goes. That's a trend we're going to have to watch. All right, next up here, Chargers. Eckler finally got right, 13 for 60 and 2 touchdowns, 6 for 49 and a receiving touchdown, 24 routes on 60 dropbacks. He had 13 to 23 carries. He's basically a 60% workload guy. Running back 3 on the season, big time, bounce back after this game, going 19 touches, north of 100 yards and 3 touchdowns. You'll take that and feeling like you're heading in a better direction. So Michelle and Kelly are splitting time. I don't think either of them is a clear play if Eckler is injured. Rams play Monday night. Vegas. I've been waiting all week for this. By week, I mean 12 hours, 14 hours, whenever that game ended. Jacobs dominant in this game. Running back 7 on the season, trending in the right direction. 28 carries, 144 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He added 5 catches, 31 yards. So, yes, he goes 175 on 33 touches and 2 touchdowns. Dominant, dominant work share. 66 plays. He was in there for 5 for Bolden. It was 1 for Amir Abdullah and 2 for Zamir White. He handled all the goal line, all the 2-minute drills. Actually, Brandon Bolden played 5 of the 9 third downs. So that's the only range that he didn't have, where he didn't have the majority. And Jacobs played the short yardage stuff. He was in clock killing mode. And when you actually you looked at it, Josh McDaniel, I did note the quote that he made, really praising Josh Jacobs as being like the best back that he has had under him. So again, I haven't gone through and done a full analysis on where that places him in like the percentile of running backs, but that's pretty good compliment, I think, over the time that McDaniels has been in New England. So good there for him. He's heading in the right direction. We're thinking about this, like, where does he fit sort of contractually? Turning down the fifth-year option for him makes a ton of sense, right? It makes very little sense to sort of pay him the fifth-year option because the money's so much. But for him, like paying him sort of that James Conner, Leonard Fournette type deal between, I think they both came in 7 for 21 was their deals. And then Conner had 15 guaranteed. I think it was something like 9 for Fournette. Somewhere sort of in that range feels very right for Jacobs. It's probably better for him and better for the Raiders, ultimately, in terms of both guarantees and sort of how the money spreads out. I'm kind of hoping that happens midseason and we can really be positive about him. But I do think Jacobs, right, he has a very Leonard Fournette type of profile to him. Can do basically everything. And in an offense that only had 5 guys catch passes, it's a very dangerous spot for Jacobs, right? Again, 33 touches. You're going to play 66 out of, we'll call it 74 plays by my math. I'm going to be missing one. 74, 75 plays. The graphic, I just can't quite read it. I think it's 75 plays. So, yeah, that's a huge workload is the takeaway from that. So, awesome for him. And, again, overperforming his cost again. Miami, it looks like the reins have been handed over to Raheem Mostert, 46 of 64 snaps. It was 18 for Chase Edmonds. Mostert, 26 of 39 routes run, 26 routes on 39 dropbacks, 9 routes on 39 dropbacks for Chase Edmonds. Each had 3 targets. Edmonds actually found the end zone, but 15 carries for Mostert and 5 for Edmonds. So I definitely think that Mostert is your is really on the radar as being your lead back in this offense. Edmonds feels not particularly startable at this point, even though he kind of escaped in this game. He got you like 10 points. Doesn't feel great here heading heading into the rest of the season where he's at. So Mostert is probably your only play, but I wouldn't feel comfortable playing him. Anything above really a flex type consideration. All right, Minnesota, Dalvin Cook started and handled 22 touches. Madison 4, but added 1 catch, 15 yards, and a receiving touchdown. 45 snaps for Cook, 27 for Madison. Madison played on 13 of 14 third downs. So if you're looking for, hey, how are they sort of helping manage Dalvin Cook's shoulder injury, it's having Madison play on third down. That's really where he's going to eat into him. So that's an interesting thing there. I don't think Madison's flexible yet in lineups, but we'll watch for that trend going forward. Cook played the two-minute drill. Notably, Madison had 3 of 4 goal line stuff. So if that's going to be the case, it really does pin in some of the Cook ceiling stuff. So I'd probably back away from maybe Cook as like an elite projection here over the rest of the season, just because that he's getting kind of sniped from both sides on Madison. Some of those high-value opportunities he's not getting. New England, Stevenson played 32 snaps to 26 for Harris. Stevenson ran 13 routes on 25 dropbacks, 7 routes for Harris on 25 dropbacks. They were rotating drives for what it's worth. So with Stevenson operating as the third down back, that's basically how the work was divided. So don't have a ton of confidence there in how it goes. Damien Harris got the lone goal line crack and scored. So yeah, so I mean, that's really where we're at. Stevenson 4 for 23. As a receiver, 1 for -2 for Damien Harris. So I think if anyone, right, if either one of them's injured, Stevenson has the higher ceiling if Harris is injured than Harris if Stevenson is injured, right? So that would be sort of my takeaway there. But just because I think Stevenson can consolidate it all, where I'm not sure Harris will. So that's really the big takeaway there. New Orleans, and I don't know, I said the biggest news of the week may have been earlier. I don't think that is true. The biggest news of the week is that the logo is back. Latavius Murray, 11 carries, 57 yards and a touchdown, 26 snaps, 11 routes, 1 target. Ingram, 10 for 30, didn't score, but 3 for 13 in the passing game, 29 snaps, 13 routes, so ran more routes, 3 targets, which is more than Murray. No Kamara, and Tony Jones with a healthy scratch. You can send him back to the waiver wire. Latavius Murray, worth a small ad. I'm not going to get carried away. Despite the symbolism of it, it looks like Kamara's probably going to be back. And I'm not sure how confident you are playing anyone in this backfield other than to say, like, this is a downtick. A pretty good downtick in how confident you feel about the backfield at this point. And honestly, it was a high priority. I think it's a low priority for this backfield. So I'm going to still keep Ingram, but I'm not super enthusiastic about this backfield the way I was entering the season, especially the injury way aspect of it. Barkley, 31 for 146 on the ground, 2 for 16 through the air, running back 2 on the season. The offense is a disaster zone this week, but he's elevating it. Breed is the clear injury away guy. I mean, that's really the takeaway, right? Barkley's really good, and he's gotten back. It's awesome to see. Happy for him. 26 targets for Breece Hall, the second most for any running back in the league. That's pretty notable there. 6 more this week. 26 routes for him. Again, that's a good chunk of his routes he's being targeted on. 17 carries. Feels very much like this could be heading in his direction. You know, as we go forward here. So that's exciting. He goes 17 for 66 on the ground with a touchdown. He plays a majority of snaps, 39 snaps just by himself, 24 for Carter. They split 7 of them, so that's good there for Hall. He had all of the goal line, the 3 carries at the goal line. He played 8 of the 12 third downs. They split 2-minute drill, and Hall played on the majority of the early downs by himself and then split some of the early downs with Carter as well. So definitely trending in a Hall type direction. This feels like this definitely feels like the normal round 2 running back arc, which is you start taking over mid-season, this kind of feels like the arc of what you would think Hall would do if he were to follow the normal running back two type projection. And definitely heading in the right direction here as we start to head towards our bye weeks. Philadelphia is probably the biggest game of Sanders' career. 27 carries, ran 16 routes, 3 targets, clearly back. Gainwell, 22 snaps, 5 for Sermon. Sanders was 27 for 134 and 2 touchdowns, 2 for 22 in the receiving game. So really good number for him there. Boston Scott was out. Kenneth Gainwell looked like the clear injury away guy. I think maybe the big takeaway is that Sermon's probably unusable. So gonna kick him back if it's at like the cost of adding a guy like Mike Boone at this point. All right, 48 snaps for Najee Harris, 16 for Jaylen Warren. So again, this feels like a 75-25 type split. Harris, 17 routes but no target. He went 18 for 74 on the ground. Running back 25 in the season. I'm interested in buying low. I want it to be like outside the top 10 running back costs, but I'm interested in buying low. Can you do like a, I don't know, is it Dobbins? Like, is Dobbins for Najee Harris? Like, is that a doable deal? Because I would take the Harris side of that. I don't know. I'm interested to sort of see if that's in play because I'd be interested in that type of deal. Jaylen Warren, 3 for 18. He had one reception for 4 yards in the passing game. San Francisco plays on Monday night. Seattle, 17 carries for 151 yards and 2 touchdowns on the ground for Rashad Penny, 1 for 6 through the air. Only one target on 16 routes, played 45 snaps to only 24 for Kenneth Walker. Walker, 8 for 29 on the ground, 1 reception, -5 yards. He's a good injury away guy at present. Penny's setting himself up well for free agency. He's running back 25 in the season pending the primetime game. So I wrote that, what was that, late Sunday before I got the full stat line for Sunday Night Football. I don't think he moved though. So he's like running back 25, 26 on the season, something like that. So you get the idea where he is. And this was definitely one of his bigger games in the season. Again, I think either one of these guys, if the other one's out, could potentially take a step forward. But definitely Walker. I'm interested in him. Again, if there's a discount on him, I'm interested. He's probably not on the Hall path of sort of taking over midseason outside of an injury. So for what that's worth, I'm interested in watching. Fournette, only 3 carries for Tampa. He goes 7 for 57 through the air. White had 5 for 50 and 5 targets. When you look at it, Leonard Fournette basically had a monopoly on the stuff early in the game. Rashad White came in a little bit later. He ran 18 of 28 routes. I'm sorry, he ran 18 routes and 53 dropbacks, 28 for Fournette. So it was 28 to 18 in terms of routes there. 7 targets for Fournette, again, 5 for White. They each had 3 carries for 6 total. I think this is Fournette's job, but he hasn't performed well. He hasn't performed, like, he hasn't run well. He hasn't run efficiently. He's scored well from a fantasy perspective, but hasn't run well efficiently. So we'll see if there's a potential change here going forward. I don't think this is a sign of it, but I'm interested in seeing sort of what White does here over the next couple of weeks. Tennessee, Henry has a good game here on the ground. It actually goes 3 for 33 on 5 targets. He ran 11 routes. So seeing some good work there. He hits the over on his projected carry total in this game. So that was good for him there as well. Again, I don't know. Like, this is a he goes 22 for 114 and a touchdown. Don't feel super confident in this Titans team from week to week, but we'll be watching and we'll see. When you do look at his metrics, PFF-wise, yards after contact per attempt, 3.3. It's in line with where he was last year. He's slightly ahead of missed tackles forced per attempt, but again, not back up to where he was early on, in his elite projection there. So I do think there's a lesser and again, it's a low percentage of his yards on breakaways as well. Like, you're just seeing some of the stuff come back to earth for him. With almost the exception of his receiving stuff. It's funny, he's buoying himself up in the receiving game with basically 8 receptions, 91 yards, 2.02 yards per route run so far. So Derrick Henry, wide receiver, route running extraordinaire. J.D. McKissic, last but not least here, led the team in snaps 38-30 against Gibson. 26 routes for McKissic, 12 to Gibson. Four targets, three receptions, 16 yards for McKissic. Three targets, three receptions, 14 yards for Gibson. This felt much more like the game script difference here between Gibson and McKissic. So that would be my concern there. But otherwise, I feel okay with the idea that Robinson can come back and compete for this job, because I don't think Gibson has really. They don't appear more sold on Gibson than they were entering this season. So the offense might not be as good. You know, there's going to be weekly variants here, but I'm interested to see Brian Robinson compete for this job, because I still think he can. I don't think Gibson has seized it, despite some early season progress in his performance. He hasn't really done it consistently so far this season. So that'll pretty much do it for this edition. Again, we'll wrap on this. This is being wrapped at 1:40 Eastern time. So if there's additional injuries or something, we'll catch them in a future podcast. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.